As an advisor, I'm always curious about what is the path that most people don't choose. It may be the most difficult and challenging, but it will get me to my goal faster than everybody else. So we are launching Elite Plus. This is the community for advisors that really want to engage. You get to hang out with me a couple times a month live, asking questions, trying to grow our practice together. You'll get for free our financial planning software that'll help you deliver a better financial planning experience to your clients. You'll have access to Q&A cohorts with other advisors, and you'll have our full library of resources. This is for you if you are ready to go all in. If you want to be challenged to grow, you need to come hang out in Elite Plus. Join the Elite Plus membership today. Visit gobeelite.com and experience the program that transforms advisors into leaders.
In this episode of the Elite Advisor Podcast, we're going to be hanging out with Blake. Blake is the founder of The Legacy Letter. His story is powerful. And he will walk us through his story and his progression of helping others write letters so that things aren't left unsaid. I write letters to my kids. Most people would say they want to write these letters. They want to communicate something to their kids, their spouse, parents. But most people are not doing it for some reason. I also see his program as being a great conversation starter for clients and prospects. So Blake's going to unpack how he works with financial advisors and how the legacy letter can be woven into your estate planning conversation, but how it can also just set you apart from other advisors. Blake, welcome to the podcast.
Stan, I'm glad to be here, man.
I heard about yourself a little while ago from a few different directions about the legacy letter and the mission you're on. Resonated a lot with me. I've tried to be intentional with my kids and, you know, try not to leave things left unsaid. But the way you formalized it and the program you have around it, as I've heard about it, I'm like, I think that'll just help people take the step, because everyone can do the stuff we're about to talk about, but I think most people don't for some reason. So if you'd just give us the background, your origin story, I'd love to dive in.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we are on a mission to help a million people write at least one well-written, meaningful, lasting legacy letter. And so just like you, man, I have a conviction for this. But I would say it's because of my dad. And so when I was 19 years old, we took a family vacation to Hawaii. First day there, we decided to go snorkeling at Hanama Bay. And so everybody's on the beach, my mom, my sister, my brother, my grandmother. And then it was just me and my dad out in the water. And Sten, there is nowhere else in the world I wanted to be than right there with my dad. And so I was really fortunate that I had a really good dad. Not perfect at all, when anybody starts with imagination, but he was good and he was my hero. And he was a hospital CEO at this time in my life. Long before I was born, he was known as a football player. So he'd been drafted by the Atlanta Falcons to play tight end. But his main claim to fame is that he was Terry Bradshaw's tight end at Louisiana Tech. And so they were best friends and roommates. Yeah, you can imagine some of the stories that came out of those years. So also means Phil Robertson was my dad's quarterback. Wow. My dad was a very humble guy, so he hardly ever told anyone that he was Terry Bradshaw's tight end. But I told everybody. It was my claim to fame growing up. And so there we were out there in the water, and we just kept going further and further out. And we ended up in this area that I now know is called Witch's Brew. And Witch's Brew is known for its treacherous waters. And it was that day. And so there was this moment where I realized, man, I don't see my dad anymore. Nowhere to go. And so I panicked a little bit, because now I'm out there by myself and I'm scanning the water looking for him. And then I see him. And I remember thinking, okay, good. There's my dad. Except not good, because my dad was in trouble. And one reason I knew he was in trouble is because he was trying to get out of the water, and there was not a good place to get out of the water. And there was these rocks, and the waves were crashing against them. And sure enough, about halfway up, wave crashes against my dad and knocks him back down. And so I swim over there as quickly as I can. I can't find him anywhere. And I'm looking around, and I see him. And I swim over to him, and now he's underneath the water. And he's unconscious. And so I dive down, I wrap my arms around him, I bring him back up to the surface, and I begin to swim with him back to the shore. And it was just a few minutes into I realized, man, there's no way I'm going to make it. Like, I am absolutely exhausted. And in that moment, a nearby snorkeler showed up and began to help me get my dad to the shore. And then the lifeguard showed up. They put him on a surfboard. They brought him the rest of the way in. And they started doing CPR. And I stood there next to them feeling so helpless. And really the only thing I knew to do was just cry out to God. Like, God, would you please save my dad's life? And I really thought that any moment that my dad was going to come to, and it was going to be like the movies where the water kind of spews out of his mouth, his eyes kind of flicker open. And it never happened. And so my dad drowned that day. And it went from one of the best days of my life to the worst, just like this. And now I'm sitting there next to my dad's body. Like, what the heck just happened? You know, we were having the time of our life, and now my dad is gone forever. And so fast forward a few hours, and now we're back in the condo. I had to be the one to start making phone calls. My mom was in no condition to do it, and so I had to call my dad's parents and break the news to them. They were devastated to learn they lost their son. Called some other family members, called my dad's work, our church. And I go to the back bedroom, and I'm sitting there on the edge of the bed, just still in shock, and begin to just ask God, like, where were you? What happened? And how are we going to make it without my dad? How am I going to make it without him? And in that moment, my mom appeared in the doorway and said, Blake, I found something in your dad's briefcase, something that I know he was going to give you on this trip. And she walks across the room and she hands me this letter from my dad. And I began to read this letter, Sten, and it was everything that I needed in that moment. And I don't think I've ever heard my dad's voice more clearly than when I read that letter for the first time. And his voice comforted me. I felt a sense of peace. I felt hope. And I felt incredibly loved. Like, do not tell me that my dad did not love me. He took the time in the midst of his busy schedule with everything going on to put it down on paper. And so I can't imagine my life without this letter. That next year, I was in a lot of grief. I was in a lot of pain missing my dad. And my life could have gone a lot of different ways. I could have left the situation as a victim, depressed, anxious, bitter at the world, bitter at God. And it was like the exact opposite happened. I grew more as a leader, grew more as a person in my faith, closer to my family, discovered my life purpose. I even had some professional counselors tell me, Blake, you have grieved this in a really healthy way compared to most people. And I said, yeah, most people don't get a letter like this from their dad.
Yeah. Well.
And so then it was 5 years ago, kind of like you, like looking at any other dad, like, man, I want to be a good dad here. I want to help them be confident and successful. And I want to pass down our family values. I see what's going on in the world, and there's a lot of noise out there. And how do I just like really help my children? And it's like, I know what I got to do. I got to write them a letter. And, you know, if anyone knows the value of a letter from their dad, it's me. And so this process of writing the letter was really hard. Like looking at this blank sheet of paper, like, what the heck am I going to write? And, the appreciation of my dad's letter went way up. And so in the process of writing this letter, I ended up doing a lot of research to really understand, like, hey, what are the words that my children need to hear from me? Like, if we're going to do the letter, let's do it right. And, finish the letter. And it felt amazing to have this letter done. But then I realized, man, I did that for my kids, but man, that was actually for me. Like, I needed to do that. Like, I became a better man, a better dad, helped me think about my future, what I wanted to be true. And then I had this letter to go live out. And so it was really through that it just kind of hit me one day, man, I was actually in Nashville. I was at a mastermind group. I was in this mastermind group for 5 years. We had an offsite. And I was listening to a guy talk about getting a life-changing letter from their dad. And I was listening, this guy got a letter. I got a letter. Like, we got to help more people get a letter. Nice. And so like literally like the idea for this mission happened right there in Nashville. And so ever since then, for the last 5 years, I've been doing this full time. I've helped about, and we created a process and an outline, help people write the letter. And I do these workshops all across the country. We've helped about 20,000 people write this letter.
Man, thanks for sharing that. That's in the process, the letter, what was the biggest impact of it? Was it, it helped the healing process, having that reference back to, like, in your story, the letter, what, because I would say probably in everybody's stories, the letter might play a different purpose. What was it for you?
Yeah, I think it put into perspective a couple of things, like how short my time here on Earth is. And one of those, one of the things my dad talked about, and the time that I'm here on Earth, and I want to live for what matters. I'd also say this, and I know that maybe not everybody listening is a person of faith. My dad was a person of faith. You know, the last line is of his letter. He wrote, as you're being faithful to God and to the Bible, you're often going to find yourself in the minority here on earth. But I can assure you that in heaven, you'll be in the majority. Love your dear old dad. And so as I was kind of wrestling through, you know, if I'm going to be, you know, bitter at the world or mad at God or, you know, everything, one of the things that I, conclusions I came to is like, okay, God, I believe that God is good. And so even on the best days and the worst days, like I believe that God is good, and I can make some kind of theological argument, but really it came down to, I believe that God is good because my dad believed that God was good. Mm-hmm. And so, and then another point, one of the things my dad encouraged me to do was to, live for others. And this is what he was doing even by writing this legacy letter. Like he was not being selfish. He was living for me and living for his legacy and giving more of himself to me. And so, even within a few months of my dad drowning, I was like mentoring other college students. And I think, and I now know, like, cause there's some psychology behind this, like, you know, when you're all about yourself, it's harder to heal. But when you start to like pour into other people and mentor other people, it helps you in your healing process.
Wow. Is that letter framed? Do you see it every day?
Man, it's like 4 or 5 pages long. So it's hard to frame the whole thing. It's not just like one page, but it is, I do see it every day. It's like right here, office.
So what have you learned? Cause you may be one of the most knowledgeable people in the world on this topic. Now that you've spent so much time diving into it, it feels like if you asked anyone, they would say, of course I want to do that. Of course, that's a great idea. I mean, are less than 1% of people doing it intentionally? Like what have you learned about the stats behind it?
I don't know hard stats, but I will say, and I even knew this before I started helping people, like people hear my story and they're like, man, like, I wish I had a letter like that. Like that was like the number one response. You know, I wish I had a letter like that. And then every once in a while, you know, I would meet someone, that had a letter like that. And it was like, we were in this special club together. Like I got a letter from my dad club. And, you know, really that went back to my children. And, you know, it's like, well, there's one thing I know about my child. I want my children to be in that club. You know, I got a letter from my dad club. And so every once in a while I'll meet someone like you who said you've already been writing letters. And, mm-hmm. I would say there's, most people are not like doing this. Now I see, meet a lot of people who are like, yeah, I've been wanting to do that. I've had this idea. You know, it's not some crazy idea, you know, write a letter. I've never heard of that before. Yet most people haven't done it. And even as I'm helping people, like it's still hard to do it. Like writing a letter is so simple. The idea of it is so simple, mm-hmm. but simple does not mean easy. Yeah. Like this is such an emotional experience to do it. And so that's why I love helping people do it, because it's like literally like it's life changing to write the letter. Well, you know, something's happening in you as you write it.
So there's the practical side of like, hey, here's some prompts. Here's the template. It is, do you find that it is the emotional side? Like I can't get myself there. Maybe people haven't done enough personal work to even know, like, what do I say? I'm not ready for what I'm going to feel if I start saying this.
Well, I think there's a sense of like how I was initially, like looking at this blank sheet of paper of like, oh man, I don't even know what to write. Like, how do I get, you know, and I tell people, I think you have a legacy letter in your heart. Like everyone has one in their heart. You just got to get from your heart to your mind to a piece of paper. And then ultimately you want to write it in a way that it gets into their heart. And so I think people get tripped up on that as well, too. It's like, one, trying to make it perfect. I try to help people say, this, it's not going to be perfect. Like you're never gonna have a perfect letter. As long as you're trying to make it perfect, it's not finished and it's not going to be in their life. But there was a dad who came to me out of Houston and he said, man, we're having some issues with our daughter. She's a senior in college. Like, man, she's really butting heads with, especially my wife. And like, we're just not getting along and I want my daughter back and I want her family back. And he said, my wife wrote her a letter and it did not go well. It actually like hurt the cause. And I said, well, go through my workshop. Like I'll teach you some things, some stuff you need to write and in a way that she'll receive it as well. Mm-hmm. And so he went through my workshop and then he wrote the letter. And then he called me about a week after that and said, man, my daughter got the letter and she loved it and she started crying and we just had Sunday family dinner and my daughter came home for the first time in over a year and my family's back because of this letter. So it's such a powerful, powerful letter to write.
Yeah, I think to the ones when I had the idea to write it when my kids were born and the progression was, I'm just like telling them what happened this year. And I look back at some of those and I kind of laugh because I'm like, that was just like that letter kind of represented where I was in my life at that point, which was like, I was a doer. I was in business just trying to crush life, but not a lot of depth. I haven't done enough work to be like, why am I the way I am? Why do I respond this way? Can I tap into some feelings of all the feelings that we all feel? And then as over time, the letters have gotten like, hey, here's what's happening in dad's life. And here's what I hope I am to you. And here's what I hope you feel. And it turned into way more of an emotional experience and reflection. I think like you're talking about, like it changes you just writing the letter. But I had to get some of those early ones out of the way, I think, just to kind of like get in the practice of it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I love helping people go even deeper maybe than what they would have on their own. And we help people write the letter who are like not letter writers at all. And
are most people writing them or typing them? What's kind of the...
People do both. And I tell people, hey, my dad's letter was typed. And I say,
yeah, I've typed a bunch of mine.
I'm so glad it was typed because I could read it.
Yeah, good point.
And I say, yeah, I mean, the personal handwriting is cool. And so some people add like the last sentence or two, but I said, it's more about the heart behind these words. You know, I've read a lot of really good books that were life-changing books and they were all typed. So, but yeah, I love helping people go deeper, like in communicating their love. I just say, hey, look, the more that your children can understand the depth of your love for them, the better off they're going to be, the more confident, the more successful, they're going to take more risk, like in a good way. Like there's no way that my kids understand like how much I love them right now. Like I could go tell them right now and they still cannot even comprehend how much I love them.
Yeah.
And so this letter is a way to communicate. So there's just something that happens when you write it down. Like I would say it amplifies your words and amplifies your voice. And then also makes it lasting. And so really one of the things we're doing is we all kind of have this inner voice, kind of we all have this inner critic. There's a guy out there I know that he coaches Olympic athletes. And he said, man, the number one thing I got to help with these Olympic athletes to be successful is that they got to have a strong, confident inner voice. And a lot of them come in like with a shaming voice or a critical voice. And he's like, I got to help them overcome that. But the reason that they have, you know, that whatever negative inner voice that they have, it's because of their parents. Because that's the number one influence on, you know, your inner voice. So like the words I speak to my children, that's the words they're going to speak to themselves for the rest of their life. And you know, when I talked about, you know, a lot of noise out there in the world, there's a lot of voices out there that are negative and that are influencing my children. Well, one of those voices is mine. Like I've said some things to my children that, I hope they don't remember that. I hope they don't cling on to that because that's not how I felt. I said it the wrong way or I said it in anger. But I want them to know that, hey, you're loved. I'm proud of you, that I believe in you. I was talking to a guy last week and his grandfather, this guy is really successful. He actually lives up in the Northwest where you're from. It's not successful financially, but also very successful with his family. Mm. And he said that his grandfather growing up would say to him, hey, the seeds of greatness are in you.
Nice.
And can you imagine walking around in life like, hey, the seeds of greatness are in me? Versus some people, their inner voice, their story is, man, I'm just a screw up. I'm a mess up. Because that's what has been said to them And so that's, they're carrying that voice around like, man, that's not good. Mm. And so now I've been saying that to my children too. Hey, the
William Wallace. Yeah, just walking around out there, just conquering the world.
Yeah.
That's great. So what, when everybody listening, again, for all the advisors, entrepreneurs, leaders that are listening, if you haven't done this, there's probably something inside you that's like, wow, I should. And I would bet 100% of us would never regret doing it. So give us some, like, the practical unpacking of your system, what steps they would take. Cause we're, you know, most of us as advisors are very practical, logical. And where would you start, most of us, as you've worked with a lot of folks in our business?
You know, when I started this, I had no idea that I was going to be working with advisors. Like, I didn't know where we were going to go. And since I'm talking to entrepreneurs, they'll get this. Like, when I went and told my wife, like, hey, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I feel called to do. She's like, what? Like, you're going to provide for our family by helping people write a letter? Like, who's going to pay you for that? Like, this isn't going to work. And I was like, well, I saw a path for it working. And also believe that God's in it. And it's too big of a thing for us to not go for. But some financial advisors were like, man, like out of the gate, like my buddy, it's like, hey, come share your story with us. And next thing you know, all these advisors are like, man, we need your program for our clients. Like we see like they're passing down all this money and they have no relationship with their children or things like there's some tension there. Our clients are having trouble communicating their heart, like which we all do. Like we all have a, you know, sometimes it's really hard to vocally and verbally say some things. And so we put together a package where I'm either going to help advisors and their clients do like in-person workshop. So I come and do it and I'm speaking and over several hours, we'll go through the workshop or I'll do the keynote and then everyone in the back end has access to my online program. And so people can go through that in like an hour, hour and a half. If anyone comes to my website, they can sign up for that. It's only $97 and we will help you write the greatest letter that you'll ever write. And we'll guide you section by section through it. And we have videos for each section and different promptings and templates. We have an AI tool that you can put your notes into and it'll spit out your first draft. So we're very careful. Like AI is not writing this letter for you. You're inputting your notes, your heart, and then it's just putting it going from notes to the first draft.
Very cool.
But I would love anyone listening, like, and I would love to help. One, you live for your legacy with your family and your children. Like this is just a tool. Like the legacy letter is just like writing this letter is just a tool to help you with your legacy. But also, there's so much joy when you help someone else write this letter. Oh, yeah. And, you know, advisors aren't necessarily set up to be an expert on helping people write the letter. I'm the expert. I can help your clients write this letter and then you get all the credit for it. There was a guy who wrote this letter. He was a vice president of Walmart and he did it because of his financial advisor. I messaged him actually just a couple of weeks ago. And I said, and it's been like over 3 years. And I said, hey, tell me about Travis. Like he's still your advisor, right? He goes, oh man. He goes, man, before we wrote the legacy letter, I'd been with him. I knew him for 20 years. And we just kind of like every once in a while would talk about taxes and that. He goes, since we wrote our legacy letter together and he provided and helped me write mine through your program. He goes, man, we're like tight. Like we go to lunch now. We talk about our children, our family. Like, man, that guy's like a brother to me. Yeah. And it all started like this legacy letter. Cause when people start writing their legacy letter, they bond, you know, as you start to talk about your hopes and dreams for your family. So it's really taking that relationship to a deeper level, building more trust.
Yeah. I think of, when I got into the business, it was very normal to send your clients like cookies at Thanksgiving or, you know, maybe a mug with your logo on it. Then as I started building my practice out, I was like, I should probably stop sending things that have my name on it. Yeah, great book, Giftology. It's like, maybe it should be about them. And so it's like, as your gift progresses, I know a lot of my clients, they can go buy a candle and some coffee. You know, I think it's thoughtful for them to get something. People like getting stuff in the mail. But I do think there's an element of when I've heard about your mission of you will be attached to them doing something that they'll never regret doing. Like, is that maybe a more appropriate gift from a financial advisor than snacks? And candy.
Yeah. And oh man, I'm going to butcher this John Ruin quote, but something about, man, you take care of somebody's family and, man, they'll be with you forever. And so, yeah, helping somebody write this letter, because really, and you know, what you're doing is you're enabling them to be the hero to their family. You know, their children already, you're helping them be the hero that their children, their family already sees them be. And so, you know, and also let me say this, like, this is not just for dads, like dads, moms, grandparents, they write this letter. And then we help people write a letter to their spouse or to their, like some people write the, like a letter of appreciation to their parents as well. And I got so many great stories about that.
Love that. So what would next, website, what's the website that people would go to?
You can go to legacyletter.com, but we have like a resource for everyone that's listening, and you can get a free preview and some other free resources as well. And I don't have that URL, but we've sent it to you guys. And so it'll be in that y'all can send it to you. Yeah.
So I think there's an angle here of advisors, and I'll just say from personal experience, like you should do this. Like you will not regret it. But from a business standpoint, what are some, how do you coach us up on how we could roll it out, use it with clients? Do you see advisors saying, hey, I'm going to work 10 clients at a time from the top of my book to the bottom of my book. I'm going to just throw it out to everybody all at once. What do you see an advisor do?
Yeah. So we have a program called Becoming a Legacy Letter Advocate. And so Legacy Letter Advocates, their clients and even their potential clients get access to our online program. So the online program is, you know, it costs $100. Our advocate program only costs $100 a month, and that enables you to give our program to your clients. And so we build a co-branded web landing page to send your clients to. We give them an access code. We give you different printed materials. And so some advisors, we've set it up to make it as easy as possible. So like you can email it out and let everybody know, or you can send like the QR code in the mail. Hey, you know, and you can set it up as a gift, or you can also set it up as, hey, and advisors do this. Like, this is just part of our practice now. Like, we're going to do these seven things. The seventh thing is Legacy Letter. And we partnered with a national expert. He's been on the Today Show and the Huckabee Show. And like, he's going to help you write this Legacy Letter. But some advisors will bring people into their office and they will use it kind of as a client event and show my video, or they'll do me live. I do virtual workshops like all the time. Nice. I've got a couple this week for some advisors, one up in Oregon, one in New Jersey. And so they invite their clients, and sometimes they're on their own computer. Sometimes they're all in the room. And we're doing a virtual, and sometimes it's both.
Love that. Yeah, I think that this hits the heart for me. Obviously, your story, I appreciate you sharing that. Putting like a business owner hat on, I think there's a lot of application for this, of creating different conversations, revitalizing stale relationships with clients. I find so many advisors that loyalty is not guaranteed, but I think we take it for granted. It's like, oh, I've been their advisor for years and we're doing pretty good. And a lot of people do not change their advisor just for the sake of it, usually if something has to prompt them to do it.
Yeah.
But I do think there's an over confidence. If you were just doing traditional advising, talking to your clients once a year and they don't leave, I don't think that means you're doing the best you can. And when I heard about this and when I think about implementing it, I'm like, okay, that's different. I may not get every client right away to get excited about it, but if it becomes part of our process, when we talk about estate planning, we mention this as piece of it. I think there's a way to weave this in to where it's not like a flash in the pan idea. It's just part of your practice.
Yeah. And we've had advisors say, man, I've loved, like, what a great reason for me to call some clients or some other people that I haven't talked to in a while. And I was kind of feeling nervous about or kind of sheepish, but man, I'm leading with Legacy Letter is the reason I'm calling. And then it led to other parts of the conversation. And then we had an advisor, a guy told me recently, he said, man, I was doing my client reviews this past year and like the stock market wasn't doing good. I didn't want to talk about numbers, but man, I got to talk about Legacy Letter.
Nice,
yeah. I was so glad I had something else to talk about other than the numbers.
Yeah, that's great. Man, I appreciate you being here. I'm thankful for the mission you're on because it matters a lot. I think it's a few hours or maybe even takes longer than that, but it lasts a long time.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Well, thanks for having me on, man. I believe in people having these legacy letters And man, the only reason we've been able to help the people we have, the only reason we're going to get to a million is because other people who believe in our mission, who join us in this mission. So we are actively looking for legacy letter advocates, people to partner with us, so we can help more people have a legacy letter.
Man. All right, brother. Thanks for coming.
All right. Thank you, man. We'll see you. Okay.